Today's reading is from Luke chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, and you can find this on page 1030 of the Church Bible. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time.
Thank you, Sue. That's great. I don't know whether you're of an era where you used to get photographs from boots when they were developed on a film. Do you remember that? You'd go in with your three reels and you'd hand them in, and then 10 days later? I mean, how do we survive? But what I remember often when people got those and they'd been on holiday, they would show you what they've been doing on holiday. And of course, the photos were in the order of how they were taken. So day one, we did this, and day two, we did this, and day three, and just, you know, if it's a 3-week holiday, it could take four whole packets. Day four, we did this. And it was great because it gave you a flavor, a slight understanding of their holiday and how they'd been through things. We're going to watch a video that helps us to journey with Jesus through these 40 days in the wilderness. It's not the same as experiencing, but it will give us flavor of that journey that he went through. So let's sit and watch as we reflect on those 40 days. That video doesn't allow us to skip through the 40 days of Jesus' time in the wilderness. It's very easy to skip on to the three temptations. But to understand some of what Luke is trying to tell us, we have to dwell, as we have for a time, in the difficulty, the horror of that. I love in the video the throwing stones or other stones. I love the chasing things. But you can see how Jesus, over the time, becomes more and more wary, worn and weary by what's going on. We are reaching, in Luke's Gospel, the starting line of Jesus' ministry. We have approached it, and a number of things are already in place. We have been told that Jesus is now in his 30th year, Luke 23:23. Jesus was about 30 years old, and that's the time of adulthood. That's the time of Jewish reckoning that you reach the age of maturity. That actually, interestingly enough, was the age that Joseph entered Pharaoh's court back in Genesis. We have found out that Jesus has, Luke has told us, grown in wisdom and stature. He has become someone who people acknowledge, even at that young age, as having God's wisdom there. And as we saw last week, Jesus has now been baptized. and the Holy Spirit has come onto him. So Jesus is just about ready to start his ministry. But there is one more thing, one more step of preparation that is needed. And that is the 40 days in the wilderness. I'm not sure if you ever, ever have come across a book by Mike Breen. And it's entitled Life Shapes. And it's an attempt to help Christians walk in the way of discipleship through shapes. It sounds a little bit odd having just explained it there. But one of his most useful shapes that he uses is called the semicircle. And he talks about this pendulum of activity from abiding faithfulness, from pruning to growing. And what he says is that life, as designed by God, is meant to have a rhythm. We're not meant to always be busy. We're not meant to always be unbusy. There's meant to be a rhythm, a pendulum movement like a clock. And that's partly why we talk about the day of rest and God rested when in creation. But what the interesting point that he makes is the nature of that movement. For most people, Christians and non-Christians, the weekend, the day of rest, is to recover from the previous week, isn't it? You get to Friday night. Excellent. You'll have your favourite meal and your favourite tipple, Horlicks probably. And you go into Saturday and you'll do your favourite activity. Oh, good to forget about work. Let's go and watch some football, maybe. Let's go and do some gardening. That'd be great. Let's go shopping. Not my personal favourite. But we find a way to recover from the week. And then comes Sunday evening. Who in their working week used to dread Sunday evening? Oh, here we go again. Another 5 days of servitude, service. Another 5 days of working for bosses. But what Mike Breen says and what he draws out of this experience of Jesus is the question of what is rest for in the Bible? Is rest a recovery from work or is rest a preparation to work? So again, is rest a recovery from work or is rest a preparation to work? And he would contend that in the Bible, and this is a good example with Jesus in the wilderness, before Jesus works his ministry and starts, he needs time away. He doesn't start his ministry and then have a sabbatical like ministers do after 7 years of servitude, service. Ministers will get 3 months off to reflect. Well, actually what Mike Breen says and what Jesus shows here is actually in order to be at our most effective, we need to work from rest. Rest is not recovery, it's preparation, he says. He calls it abiding. And that's what this passage talks a little bit about. About trying to get those seasons of recovery and preparation, not to recover primarily, but to re-energize, to redirect, to refocus ourselves for the next stage, which is faithfulness, and to going beyond what we're doing and doing what God is calling us to do. There is this real sense that for Jesus, he was keen to make that a rhythm of his life. You'll see in the other Gospels how it is mentioned in Mark 1. Verse 35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. And Jesus himself taught his disciples about their rest. He taught them the importance of finding time to rezone, to refocus. That's what he is doing here. Before he can start his ministry, he's mature enough, he's wise enough, he's got the Holy Spirit's help, but he needs to prepare himself. And actually, this time of preparation focuses and prepares him for what's coming on. It focuses him, it gives him an opportunity to stop and think. As you all know, Kate and I spent a number of years over in Nepal as missionaries. Before we went there, we had been to the Philippines for a short-term mission trip. And we spoke to a couple of missionaries from the Philippines who had gone out to the Philippines, first of all, in the late 50s, on a boat. Which at the time, I thought, that's really old. And it had taken them 6 weeks to get on the boat, I imagine somewhere on the south coast, and travel around Africa, down the bottom of Africa, and go through and so forth. And what they said was they were really grateful for those 6 weeks of preparation. They said modern missionaries, like you got on a plane in Heathrow in the morning, you flew via the Middle East, then to Hong Kong, and you arrived in Manila at night. You went in the morning from a cold, drizzly day in the south through to a boiling hot day in Manila in the evening. What sort of preparation is that? They said our 6 weeks was a way to say goodbye to our family and way, but also it was a time to get our heads into the game, to think about what God wants us to do. We had time on the voyage. And that's what we're looking at here. Jesus preparing himself. And part of that preparation is that resistance of temptation that Graham talked about earlier. What's interesting about the temptations is the nature of them. The first temptation, I'm calling it the temptation of appetite. If you are the Son of God, the devil says, tell this stone to become bread. This is the temptation of appetite, but not just appetite for food, appetite for things, the desire to enjoy things. As Christians, we've had a rather checkered history with enjoyment, haven't we? I'm sure you're well aware that the Puritans, in an Act of Parliament in 1644, banned Christmas. I imagine every minister in the land went, woohoo! Busy time of year, out of the way. And they banned it because it was getting out of control. And these Christians were enjoying themselves too much. They were eating nice food. That's terrible. They were drinking. That's terrible. They were having time off work. That's terrible. So Cromwell and the Puritans said, let's get rid of Christmas. And so Christmas became a secret thing. Can you imagine that? Waking up and pretending to go to work, but actually secretly going, happy Christmas, love. Happy Christmas. I've got you a potato. Oh, how lovely. I got you one too. Those happy 1644 days. But the thing about it is they misunderstood that the temptation here is not a temptation, or it's not an anti-fun. It's not that God is anti is having a good time, because he isn't. It's that temptation to satisfy our appetite by illegitimate means. It's about getting the things we want in ways we shouldn't do. And that's what Jesus is being tempted with. He could have left the wilderness, the desert, and gone and fed himself. No one was making him be there. But the devil was saying, ah, don't worry. You know, make a bit of bread out of stones. No one will know. That is the danger that Jesus is resisting. And the danger that we also need to resist. That temptation to satisfy our legitimate appetites by illegitimate means. I love the fact that when you read through Jesus' responses, they're all based from words from Deuteronomy. How many of us in times of crisis and temptation go to Deuteronomy? No, not many. But Jesus had obviously in those days before had been spending time reflecting on the law. What about the second temptation? Do we struggle with this sometimes? The temptation of ambition. The devil led him to a high place and showed him all the kingdom of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone, the devil said. So if you worship me, it's all yours. Again, doing the best in life is not wrong. But there's a temptation when the desire to achieve things overcomes our morals, what's right. We're trying to produce results in the wrong ways. And sometimes we even try and produce spiritual results in unspiritual means. There are a number of, and you'll be aware of them, Christian leaders from the 18s and 19s who had a great ministry, but underneath it all, they were doing some terrible things to people. They tried to achieve the spiritual with unspiritual means. And we too have to be aware of the temptation of ambition. It's not wrong to want to do the best with our lives, but it's wrong if we go to lengths that are unacceptable. And the last temptation, the temptation of avarice. That's a good word, isn't it? I like that word, partly because it was a third A and it fitted in with appetite, ambition, avarice. But avarice, it has that sense, doesn't it? You can imagine someone with their fingers tapping going, you owe me money and I want double. We can imagine Christmas Carol, although forever in my mind the Christmas Carol by Dickens is really a Muppets film. But there we go. But you can imagine that going, we need no more coal. No, I need more money. That's the third temptation. The devil led Jesus to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. The desire to obtain things, the desire to accumulate wealth and influence. Jesus passes those three temptations and encourages us in a way to resist those temptations too. But I think what's really interesting is he resisted them on the back of preparation. He was there as he started his ministry. His last greatest hurdle was to be able to resist the devil's temptation. And so he took time out to prepare. So how do we resist temptations that come our way? Just a few things to reflect on before we pray together. Firstly, see temptation for what it is. It's generally a shortcut. It's generally a way of getting something we want, but not in the right way. There's an interesting understanding of conflict resolution. And conflict resolution talks about how A may fall out with B. And A really ought to sort things out with B and B with A. But A doesn't want to sort out things with B. So they go to C and say, they did this. Go and have a word with them. Or they moan to them or they tell them there. And actually what they're doing is they're trying to repair that relationship without actually repairing that relationship. Because what they need to do is go and say, look, you upset me or I upset you. I'm really sorry and so forth. Those are shortcuts that we're tempted to do. Some people in work know that you can gain more money if you have higher jobs. You can get promotion. And sometimes it's tempting to see someone else fail, or worse, make someone else fail, so you can look in a better light. Or it may be in so many different ways. We choose the shortcut. Oh, you know, it's not too bad. It's not that bad. When we really ought to be able to resist. The second thing to remember, find a means to measure your actions. Jesus went back to Deuteronomy. Man does not live on bread alone. Do not test the Lord your God. That may not be the place for you to easily find a place to measure your actions. But the Bible as a whole is. I know many of us will have known that there was some wristbands that went around a while ago with WWJD on, which wasn't a pop band, but a question to ask, what would Jesus do? How do we know when we're being tempted to take shortcuts? Well, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do in that situation? If he would do this action, then it's the right action to do. We find out how Jesus is from reading about him, through listening to sermons, through worshipping God, through sharing in house groups, through prayer times, through all those different ways. We learn what is right and what is wrong, what is a shortcut and what is okay. Find a means to measure your actions. That may mean going to someone in your home group or going to a friend and saying, what should I do? What would you think? Is it right if I do this? And that will help you to measure those actions. The last obvious way, of course, to measure those actions, and when we're faced by temptations, is to ask God for help. It's really important for us to put him at the center of all we do. I would encourage you, if there are times of when you're feeling tempted, then get God involved. He knows, he cares, he wants to help. But I'd also encourage you to acknowledge that sometimes we don't work from rest. We tend to recover from work in rest. If Jesus took 40 days out before he did something significant, how should not we also take time out before we do something significant? That's very easy if you are doing a big thing. I remember many years ago, felt the call to become a Baptist minister. And so I thought, I'm going to spend a day reflecting on this. Where would be a good place to reflect on being a Baptist minister and whether it's the right call in our lives as a family? And so I went to Worcester Cathedral. How many of you have been to Worcester Cathedral? A few have. Not enough. It's really good, but well done. Down in the bottom, there is a beautiful crypt with lovely Norman arches. They discovered it a little while back, buried under the cathedral. And it's a lovely place to sit. It's light. There's a sculpture there. It's quite dark. It's got lovely lighting. It's a fantastic place to go and sit and reflect. And so I went down there to reflect. Is this what you want us to do as a family? Is this what you want me to do? Unfortunately, I did choose the day when it was the primary school visiting the cathedral day. And this very nice lady, a cathedral verger probably, every time she brought a school party down, she would shout in a very loud voice, "Now children, be quiet here. This is a place of prayer. Please do not disturb anybody. Follow me." And so every 15 minutes, oh Lord, you know, it's right. "We're not disturb anyone." They'd come in, and they were very good. She was very loud. But it's not just about finding those big life-changing things alone. Or there are smaller decisions. We need to take time out. Find a quiet place. Go for a walk. Read our Bible. Ask our friends. Reflect on it. How can God speak if we're not prepared to listen? I know as a man in my 50s, my hearing is not as good as it once was. Whereas I used to be able to hear a pin drop from 100 meters, I struggle a little bit now if someone's talking to me in another room. So I now find myself having to enter a room to hear a conversation. Some of you may understand how that feels. But there's a good principle in that. If we want to hear God speak, we have to get in the same room as him. We have to find a time to do that. Let's pray together before we come to the end of our service. Let's pray. Lord, as humans, as Jesus was a human, we all face temptations. We pray that we will learn from Jesus' example this week. When we are tempted, help us to resist. Help us to call on the help of others. Call on your help. Help us to know when we're trying to take a shortcut. But Lord, when the pressure is building, help us also to work from rest. Help us to carve out time with you. Time with ourselves. Time where, like Jesus, we can prepare for the ministry and the mission you call us to. Lord, we want to be cities on a hill. We want to be light shining in the darkness. But Lord, we need your help in that. And we need to prepare ourselves for that. Help us this week, Lord, to find that time. Time to be with you. With your word, with others, that we truly can, as Jesus showed, work from rest and resist the temptations that inevitably come our way. Through your Spirit, through Jesus' sacrifice, we pray these prayers. Amen. Amen.